The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Breaking news on the college football scene. This is College Football Game Time. College Football Game Time is presented by Dos Equis. Go for Dose on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Second half of College Football Game Time. Our thanks to Garrett Chapman and Abe Gordon kicking it off. John Fricke and Chris Goforth with you till noon today as we roll through our version of taking a look at what could be a very important decision Saturday here. As we get into the meat of the schedule here and we start the countdown towards the conference title games, and here we are, second week of November, and it's a win or go home in the SEC. We knew that this was going to happen, and here it is, because these teams, power teams that are going to be left out of the Power 12, out of the 12-team playoff. Chris Goforth, how you doing?
Good, John. Good to be with you. And, yeah, I agree. I think we've got I think there's a couple of big games across the SEC today, but certainly that Alabama LSU game, one we're going to be talking a lot about, because that is one where, for the loser, I don't think there is a promise or a hope for tomorrow, at least in terms of where the college football playoffs are.
Yeah, you know, the Alabama LSU loser is out. They're just out. I mean, they just are, and. The Georgia Ole Miss loser, if it's Ole Miss, is out. And Georgia's not out, Chris, but boy,
yeah,
you know, they can't afford any misstep.
Right. I mean, I think Georgia, just by virtue of where they came out ranked in week one of this thing, if you do slip up somewhere, now you probably end up, you know, a loss today, you probably end up somewhere around 11th, maybe 12th. With a loss. So it puts you in a situation where you certainly can't afford any more missteps. And so, yeah, good day today. Good day.
Well, and especially if you start to think back over the course of the season, we could have seen this coming. I said, look, nobody's going to go unbeaten. And as it turns out, there was nobody unbeaten in the SEC by like week eight and week seven. I said, this is going to be too hard to slog with the Big Ten and the SEC expanding. Some fans were like, oh, we're going to go unbeaten. We're going to run the table. And I'm like, hey, I just don't see that happening anymore. This is going to be more like the NFL. And then you're going to get into a situation where they're going to be 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, 10-2 teams, and we got to have a committee start, you know, kind of working this out. So the first poll comes out here, the first rankings. Chris, I'm kind of curious from your point of view, do you think the committee got it right on how it worked out?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I think, you know, the important part to remember here is it's the first one, and it's going to change and it's going to evolve over the next couple of weeks, and it's going to continue to change. You know, we just talked about some teams being eliminated. If Georgia beats Tennessee, that's the second loss for Tennessee. That could, you know, they could end up dropping out. You know, Georgia at number three, as we just talked about, they might be able to afford a road loss to Ole Miss today better than some other teams could. So, yeah, for the most part, yeah, I think the, again, keeping in mind that this is the first poll and this thing is going to continue to change and evolve every week.
Now, there are 13 members of the poll committee. Only a couple have SEC ties. Gary Pinkel, former Missouri coach, for example. There's the Arkansas AD. Mike Riley is on the, you know, of course, Mike Riley played in the SEC, played at Alabama, but that's it. I mean, so there's a lot of influence from all the other leagues. They wanted to balance the committee, which is fine, except that the committee being balanced is going to have sort of, like anything else, regional bias, which means that some fans in the SEC, Chris, looked at the initial poll and said they thought the SEC was undervalued and that the SEC should be a lock to get four teams. And I said, yeah, I don't know that they are.
I think that's the number. I think the SEC ends up getting four when it's all said and done. That's the magic number. I think the Big Ten probably ends up with around four by the time we're all said and done. Now, I do think that the ACC, we're talking mid-major basketball now when we talk about ACC in the college football playoffs, because I think you're talking about a one-bid league at this point.
Yeah, right, exactly. The ACC could be, let's say, and I'm not saying it will, but if it works out to SMU and Miami in the title game, I think the committee is going to look at that and say, winner in, loser out.
Yeah, yeah, and how many teams can the Big 12 get? Can they get more than one team in?
Probably. I think they'll get two in.
That's kind of what I think, too. But, again, as far as the ACC is concerned, I just don't see it being more than one at this point. They need Miami, John, to win out. That's the best hope they've got in the ACC. If you want to get multiple teams in, just let Miami continue to win.
But let me make the hang on. It would be better though if Miami's 12-0, and SMU wins, gets the automatic berth, and wins 42-41.
Yeah.
And you got a 12-1 Miami team sitting there after a 42-41 overtime loss. You know, maybe that's the only way you get somebody in, is actually Miami loses.
What about Pitt? Is Pitt too far out of the realm for you get in?
No. No, I mean, if they make the title game, no.
Right.
I mean, they're gonna. I mean, Pitt's not gonna. Pitt and I cannot see a scenario where Pitt or SMU get a wild card. They're going to have to get the automatic berth.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah.
And so that's why the ACC is teetering on the edge, especially with Clemson and what they did against Louisville, teetering kind of on the edge of being a one-bid league. They could be two, but the only team capable of being a wild card to me is Miami.
Let me throw something else at you while we kick some stuff around here. If the Big 12 champ has multiple losses and Boise State wins out, could Boise State end up a top four seed?
It's possible, especially if they're dominant. So the answer to that is yes. I mean, they could. All right, I have to stop here, Chris. Need everybody to understand, because there's so much misunderstanding yet because we haven't gone through it, of this 12-team playoff. The top four seeds, just for the record again, are the four highest-rated conference champions, okay? The four highest-rated conference champions. That does not mean the conference champions automatically of the Power Four leagues. It most likely does, but if SMU were to win, or the ACC, or somebody were to upset somebody in the Big 12, could Boise, as the Mountain West Conference champion at 12-1, make it in as a top four seed? The answer to that is yes. Yeah, they could. They could also, in theory, even if they don't, Chris, they could vault up to a top eight seed and get a home game in December in Boise, Idaho.
Right. Right.
So
who's
there's that
too. Looking forward to that.
I would, because I love snow football, you know.
Oh, I'd love to watch it. I'd love to watch it. There's no doubt. There's no doubt.
Yeah, right, exactly. So, back to the SEC being undervalued. Look, at this point, I think the SEC does get four in, because we can't know if they start just knocking each other off and it just gets to be ugly and you got a whole bunch of teams with three losses, maybe they only get three in. But if I have to guess right now, I'd say the ACC is a one-bid league, the Big 12 is a two-bid league, SEC is a four-bid league, Big 10 is a three-bid league. And part of the a problem with that is Notre Dame. Notre Dame goes 11-1. There was a story this week, Chris, that said, could an 11-1 Notre Dame team be left out? The answer is no. The committee is not going to leave an 11-1 Notre Dame team out. They're just not. The problem with the SEC, and the thing about it is, what might be interesting, again, I want to step back here and talk about the committee when they look at the results today and the results moving forward here, and keeping in mind that the committee is a really balanced committee. It's not SEC heavy in any way. That if it gets down to a fourth team in the Big Ten versus a fourth team in the SEC, one of the factors, or a runner-up in the ACC, one of the factors that Greg Sankey has to deal with is the committee is going to give a minus or a red mark to the SEC, because the SEC only plays eight conference games. Yeah. So these, you know, UMass or whatever the hell they're playing, there's some, one of those games today here at the end of the year that they play, that doesn't count anymore. And so you lose a win. You lose a data point. They will wipe those games out, these, you know, bullcrap games against, you know, no offense, I don't mean to be Charleston Southern or whoever at the end of the year. They'll take that game off. And, you know, you only play eight games versus nine in the Big Ten, nine in the ACC, and nine in the Big 12. That'll be a checkmark plus. Now, I'm not saying it's going to negatively, you know, impact the ACC. They may still get four in. But it is a data point that they do consider.
It's funny. You said, you know, you were talking a minute ago about the SEC kind of cannibalizing itself. And, they're, you know, by week eight, you had no unbeatens. And that was the first thought that I had, John, is – there's a couple of SEC coaches somewhere right now listening and saying, yeah, and look at what's happened, and you guys want us to add another conference game, and this is already tough enough, and you want us to play nine. I want to see the SEC go to nine. Look, I think there is still a way you can play the nine conference games. You can still maintain your rivalry games, and yes, you can continue to help FCS programs by playing one of those games, which helps that lower level of football continue to survive, basically. So
right, you could play one FCS game. I think with Georgia played two last year, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, you don't need to play two.
Right.
You don't need to play
two. You don't need to play two. I mean, that's just ridiculous. You know, now granted, when they played two last year, that was because the SEC said you couldn't play Oklahoma, and so they had to replace them, and the only team they could find was Ball State. So I'm not blaming Georgia for last year. I mean, obviously Georgia still, in my opinion, should have been in the playoff. If there had been a 12-team playoff last year, I think Georgia would have won it. Well, that's the way it is. So, no, it's interesting here, because now we get into every week will be an elimination week. And today, the elimination will be, because I can tell you this much, if you have three losses, you're not making it in. And Alabama and LSU each have two. So today, the loser is OUT, Chris. They're just out.
Yeah. I mean, that's a part of it. The advantage for LSU is you get to play this game at home. We know how tough that can be, and we'll talk more about it a little later, but real quick, just specifically on that game, how many points do you think it takes today to win between Alabama and LSU? I don't get the feeling this is going to be one of those 9-6 games like we had back in, you know, 2011.
Oh, no. Heavens no. I mean, what do you have? I don't have it in front of me. You have the over-under?
No. No, I can get it real quick. Hang on.
Okay, while Chris is looking this up, for those of you who don't bet, the over-under bet is you bet the total points in the game, okay? And so there's a spread of, you know, teams favored by 3 or 5 or 14 or something, and then the over-under is the total number of points scored by both teams. I'm going to guess that the over-under, without even looking at it, because I didn't look at it, I'm going to say the over-under on this game might be 57.5, 58.5.
That would make sense. Hold on. I'm still I went and looked at one thing, and it showed me Alabama favored by 3.
Right.
Let's see.
Well, we can look it up at the break, too. Or somebody could just, you know, hit me up on the
58.5.
Without even looking.
You got a job in Vegas waiting on you, John.
Well, that's all these years that I've known Danny Sheridan and did shows with him and stuff like that. I learned a little bit about odds making. But that was the number I had in my head when I said, well, what would make to me? And by the way, so the point is 58.5 means one team wins, 30 to 29 or something like that, right?
Yep.
That would cover.
Yep.
And I'm going to say that goes over.
Yeah, I think it takes 35 points to win this. I think you're going to need 5 touchdowns to win tonight.
So I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of defense played on the other side. I think Alabama has been susceptible to certain things, and Nussmeier can, even though I know LSU's a little bit banged up, Yeah, Garrett Nussmeier's been pretty good, and the LSU defense has been pretty suspect. And, you know, both teams have had kind of issues on both sides of the ball. So, and then it ramps up on Kalen DeBoer, too. So, anyway, we have our first committee poll. By the way, one real quick here before we get to the break of the Big Six games of the South, Chris. I want to just go back on record of something I've said. Ever since we started the 14 playoff, I stand firmly against the committee releasing a poll. I don't like it. Never have, never will. The College Basketball Tournament Committee does not release a poll. I think the poll actually makes fans more angry. Because and last year was proof. Florida State's four, they win, and they drop. All right, that's no.
So here's my thoughts on that, John. One, the College Football Playoff poll is good for business, right? It's good for our business.
It is. It is.
And it's good television. It's good television. And I think that, as much as anything else, is it is television programming. I don't so much have a problem with the idea of them doing a poll. The issue that I tend to think is, do we really need it this early? Do we need it the 1st of November? I mean, would it matter if they waited another 2 weeks, another 3 weeks? And then let us see what the what they're thinking. But, you know, again, I think it's good for business. It gets people talking about it, especially in the national media. I mean, obviously, in our neck of the woods, we're going to talk about it regardless because it's college football. But I think it gets the national media talking about it, and it's good television. And that's what this boils down to.
Oh, I have no argument about that. That yes, that's absolutely the case. I'm just saying I'm not a fan of it because I think then they put themselves in an untenable situation like they did last year with Florida State. All right, anyway, Big Six of the South, John Fricke, Chris Goforth, College Football Game Time, the six biggest games of the South. We'll break those down as we continue next on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for the Big Six of the South.
Georgia on the mountaintop.
So, who's in the spotlight this week?
College football game time, live on a Saturday morning on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game. John Fricke, Chris Goforth, taking it at noon. Now, today at noon, on the station, Florida and Texas, and we'll talk about that game in a moment on the Big Six of the South. Also, a reminder, the Hawks back home tonight against the Bulls after last night. It was Chris. I don't know if you saw the Hawks game last night.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, I need somebody. I was telling Noel because I was doing the I actually almost got angry on the post game show last night. Wait, you're on the road, 8.5 seconds to go, and the play that you run to win the game is to throw it to Onyeka Okongwu in a double team. Was Trey on the floor? Trey was on the floor, right?
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
Just checking. And then a reminder, so the Hawks Bulls will be 7 o'clock pregame, 7:30 tip at State Farm tonight. Atlanta United against Messi. We talk about win or go home. If Atlanta United beats Messi in Miami, they advance. If they don't, they're out. It's the tie-breaking game between these two. Atlanta United, Miami in Miami, 7 o'clock on Star 94, okay? Hawks are going to be on the on 929, and then so Mike and Jason will be on at 7 o'clock on Star 94 tonight. All right, let's get into the Big Six of the South here. Chris, go forth. Oklahoma, Missouri, I'm not sure which team is a bigger disappointment. Brady Cook has been out for Missouri. Eli Drinkwitz, who was going to be fired, turned the program around last year, came in with really high hopes this year. Missouri hasn't been nearly as bad as Oklahoma, but I think there were some Missouri fans who believed firmly. Now, whether you do or not, Chris, they believed firmly at the beginning of the year that with the softest schedule in the SEC, they were a lock to be 10 and maybe.
So, look, I think Missouri has got a legit chance, John, to win out and to be 10-2. I mean, you look at their November schedule, it's not bad. It's not bad at all. On the flip side of this for Oklahoma, and I can't believe we're going to say this, but if the goal is to get to a bowl game, you're 5-4 right now. Your last two are against Alabama and LSU. So, in the big picture of things for Oklahoma, if you want to go to a bowl game, you need this one. I mean, this is, you know, we talk about, you know, Alabama LSU being an elimination game today. Well, we're going to start eliminating some teams from bowl eligibility too. And this is what Oklahoma needs today if they're going to have any shot at being able to get, because again, I like this matchup for them much better than I do games against Alabama and LSU to close it out.
Now, so again, this is for you, you know, Mizzou fans. So you understand here, I need Oklahoma to win because my goal is for Nebraska to find a way to win another game and Oklahoma to win another game and for the bowl people to match those two up because, you know, I mean, it's classic great old rivalry.
Right.
And then this is kind of how I'm thinking about it. Both fan bases, you know, they'd be shaking hands. It would be like, hey, listen, huh, you know, didn't we used to be something? Didn't this game used to be something? we could commiserate together. How about that? It'd be the commiseration bowl. South Carolina's at Vanderbilt. Little story about Vanderbilt that popped this week is Diego Pavia, the star quarterback, there he is, of Vanderbilt, is appealing to the NCAA. That's why the NCAA has to go. To give him and grant him another year of eligibility, Chris, saying that his time at the New Mexico Military Institute, which is a junior college, shouldn't count against his, you know, his playing time in Division I and FBS at New Mexico State and now Vandy. Of course, he wants to because he's not going to play in the NFL and he's going to have a pretty big NIL number next year. It's all about money, so I don't blame him. Do you think that they ought not count JUCO?
Gosh, I would really need to hear the argument for why it shouldn't be counted. I mean, he has brought, you know, he's kind of brought NIL into that discussion. It's what, and then you start to think about it. Well, why does it count? Well, it counts because it's always counted, because that's the way it's always been looked at. And I guess it goes back to the academic side of it, where in order for you to enroll at a and to be able to play at a four-year school, you would have had to have completed your requirements at the two-year program, so you technically would come in as a junior with your freshman and sophomore years being completed. So if we're just going to take academics out of it completely, and I guess that's kind of where we are now with what's going on in sports, then why not? Why not allow a guy to go to junior college for 2 years and then come and play major college football or FCS, FBS level football and allow him to play for 4 years? Why not?
Well, Cam Rising at Utah plays next year in his eighth college football season. Eight.
Yeah.
All right. That's COVID. That's injuries. That's all this other stuff here. Real quick here, because I want to move on here, but South Carolina's at Vanderbilt in Nashville today. Who's done the better job, Shane Beamer or Clark Lee?
Oh, I think Clark Lee. I think Clark Lee. I mean, that's what he has been able to do in Nashville this year is just remarkable. The question that I have about Clark Lee is, can you sustain what you have started now? And Vanderbilt is behind him. He's a Vandy guy. He grew up in Nashville. He's got really strong ties to that area. So what he has done, I think, is just absolutely nothing short of remarkable in Vanderbilt. When you're talking about Vandy's already bowl eligible. I mean, we're the you know, what is this? The second Saturday in November, and we're talking about Vanderbilt being bowl eligible, and their three losses they suffered, John, have been by a combined total of 10 points. So, yeah, I think when you can do that at Vanderbilt, that's impressive. Nothing to get, you know, Shane Beamer's done a nice job and all of that. I think, you know, both of them are probably ahead of where a lot of us thought they would be at this point, but man, to do it at Vandy, that's a whole nother level.
Mentioned game three of the Big Six of the South, 92-9 the game at noon today, Florida at Texas. We're going to find out if DJ Lagway is going to play here. The news came out yesterday, Scott Strickland, the AD at Florida, trying to keep his own job, I think. Plus, he's got another issue with the basketball coach. You see that story?
Yeah.
With Florida basketball coach?
Yeah. Rough day yesterday in the SEC. Rough day yesterday in the SEC for Auburn. Basketball teams. Auburn getting in a fight and at 30,000 feet.
On the plane?
Nuts.
The players at Auburn get into a fight, they turn the plane around. And the players at Auburn are fighting in the plane. Oh, my God. And then the Florida coach, Todd Golden, he's been accused of all sorts of untoward things towards co-eds at the University of Florida. So Scott Strickland's got to deal with that. So he issues this thing saying, look, Billy Napier's going to be our coach next year. Some fans are grumbling here. But really, in the day of buyouts right now, I don't know what other thing you can do. This is what is going to keep Mike Norvell at Florida State. It's just the buyouts, you know, these buyouts with these coaches. So Florida goes to Texas. If DJ Lagway doesn't play, I got to believe this is not going to be close.
Yeah, agreed. I think if Lagway plays, there's a chance. We saw Florida hang around with Tennessee. We saw him hang around in the game with Georgia. I think if Lagway plays, they've got a chance to be able to hang around for a little while with Texas today. Back to Billy Napier real quick. That buyout, $26 million if they fire him today. If they wait another year, it drops to $19 million. And I know people are going to say, well, gosh, what's $26 million or whatever to the University of Florida? I think what it boils down to is two things. One, this team has played a little better of late at Florida. But the other thing is, before you shell out $26 million, I think you have to consider, hey, what all could we do with that $26 million? How far would that $26 million go in name, image, and likeness to continue to load up this roster? Which, by the way, is a problem. Florida, not very good. Right? I think on three has them listed at like 52nd or something in the – of course, it doesn't matter at this point. I know that, but still. 52nd in the nation in recruiting right now. So he's not exactly lighting the woods on fire there either.
Game four, Miami at Georgia Tech on the flats today. Here comes Ward into town. Will Haynes King play? Same kind of situation, Chris. Haynes King plays. Miami's defense, not very good. Georgia Tech could surprise the world. If he doesn't play with Zach Pyron, I'm not trying to diss Zach Pyron. Zach Pyron have to play the game of his life, and Georgia Tech's defense is going to have to step up. But I don't know. I'm going to be intrigued to see. We've seen Georgia Tech step up in situations like this before. Could they give Miami a game? Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think the key for Georgia Tech today is going to be to force some turnovers. You've got to be able to get the ball out of Cam Ward's hands, and if they can do that, they're going to have a much better chance of being able to win today. Miami's number one in total offense. They're number one in scoring offense in the nation. You have got to be able to get the ball back. And if you're Miami, John, you got Wake and Syracuse left. This is the toughest game of the year right now of what is left for Miami. And you win today, you got to feel pretty good about your chances now rolling towards December.
And UGA at Ole Miss. One of the side stories here, Lane Kiffin hates that he has to release these now injury charts, like the injury reports like they do in the NFL, because you have to do it for conference games in the Big Ten and the SEC by conference rule. So he decides to put 26 players on the injury report. 26. And this is a guy who's already been accused of faking injuries. It's just such a – he's trying to mock it is what he's trying to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Look, if Ole Miss wants to stay in that playoff race, you've talked about it being a little bit of an elimination today, John. If Ole Miss wants to stay in the playoff race, then this is one that you got to have. It's the top offense in the SEC, and the same thing we talked about with Georgia Tech. I think the same thing applies to Georgia today. One, you want to get some turnovers, but I think maybe more importantly for Georgia, Carson Beck's thrown 8 interceptions in the last 3 games. You cannot turn it over against Ole Miss. You don't want to give the best offense in the SEC, at least statistically speaking, you don't want to give them too many extra chances.
Then this stat popped this week that I saw, and I wrote it down as you can see, Chris. I did not realize this. Georgia has not lost to any team not named Alabama since they lost to Florida in 2020. In any game. 51 straight wins when not playing a team named Alabama. 51 in a row.
That's a crazy stat.
That is crazy. So, you know, if you're Ole Miss, you're like, yeah, nobody in the last 4 years has beaten Georgia unless you were named Alabama. No, nobody. No, nobody. Final game, Alabama-LSU, and certainly we'll get more into this as we go along. Tigers are all banged up, list 12 players out. And the question I put down here is, you know, who steps up bigger, Milroe or Nussmeier? Both talented quarterbacks, but both on big stages have not quite sealed the deal yet this year. So who do you think steps up bigger in this kind of a situation?
I just cannot, and we're going to make picks later. John, I just have a hard time going against LSU when they play at home. I like Milroe better than Nussmeier, but the comfort factor of Nussmeier being able to play at home in this game, I just think that's huge. And look, here's the other part of this. You know, when it comes to these two coaches, whoever loses, you're going to catch teetotal hell. I mean, fan base is, whether it's Kalen DeBoer, whether it's Brian Kelly, whoever loses this game tonight, Twitter will absolutely burn with that fan base, regardless of who it is.
Well, because suddenly those fans are going to go, oh, my God, we're mid. Yeah, right. You might be. By the way, you are. You know, I mean, you're looking at the ReliaQuest Bowl, you know, and you want to talk about nobody giving a damn, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're out, you know.
Alabama.
That's going to be one of the interesting things. These major schools, if they get into small bowls, where do their fans even go?
Well, I tell you, the question that I have is, I think with a lot of the major, with the college football playoff, once we get to the semifinals and the national championship game, we're going to see that end up turning into what the Super Bowl is, where you're going to have a lot of corporate tickets. I just want to see what some of these late in the season, regular season games look like. If you know your team is getting into the playoffs and there's a chance they may host a game, is the fan base willing to go to town and spend that money on that, you know, last home game or whoever it is? Or do people say, wait a minute, I'm going to save my dollars. I'm going to hold on to them for another week or two because I want to go see this college football playoff game. You know, I want to see Tennessee and Indiana play in Knoxville rather than spend my money to go watch them play, you know, Vanderbilt or whoever.
Which is more true? I'm going to ask Chris a few questions and a couple that are on here that he doesn't see. We're going to do that, and we count down to kickoff today. Florida, Texas, live at noon on Sports Radio 92 on the game.
All the latest breaking news on the college football scene. This is College Football Game Time. College Football Game Time is presented by Dos Equis. Go for Dos on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
92 on The Game, Saturday morning. Beautiful fall day here in North Georgia, Southern Tennessee, Eastern Alabama, Western South Carolina, and Western North Carolina. I hope you're doing well up there in Western North Carolina. Anywhere you can hear 92.9 The Game. John Fricke and Chris Goforth with you on this Saturday morning, College Football Game Time till noon, when we'll pick up live coverage of the Florida Gators against the Texas Longhorns live from Austin this afternoon. As we get down to countdowns and picking and all that kind of good stuff that we're going to do on the show, I wanted to ask Chris. Chris, I'm going to do we when I was doing the morning show, we would do one of my bosses, Reggie Rouse, used to say to me, if you're going to do a segment called Rapid Fire, it's actually got to be rapidly fired. Because it, I would ask a question, we'd talk about it for like 2 minutes. And he's like, that's not exactly rapid fire. I was like, yeah. So I'm not going to I didn't want to call it rapid fire because you may want to expound a little bit. It's not like, yes, no, yes, no. But I have like a half a dozen questions here that I'd like to throw at you, and you and I can bounce them around. So I called it, which is more true? Does that work for you?
Sure. I can live with that. I may still give you a yes or no, though.
No, that's fine. Which is more true going into play today? Which is more true? Indiana will make the playoff. Alabama will miss the playoff.
I think it's more true that Alabama misses the playoffs. Again, I mean, we just talked about it. Alabama... that is, what are they, 0-2 in the SEC on the road this year, and you've got to go to Death Valley, which is, you know, maybe the toughest place in the SEC to go play, especially at night. So that's where you're going to have to go in what is basically an elimination game for the college football playoffs. Yeah, I feel, Alabama missing the playoffs probably more true than Indiana making it.
Well, let's just put it this way. Indiana wins today at home over Michigan, and they can start booking it. Indiana's in because their final two games are next week against Ohio State, even if they were to lose that game in Columbus, and their final game is the Old Oak and Bucket. Purdue is awful. Indiana's certainly going to win that game. So if they win against Michigan today, the worst they are is 11-1 and third place in the Big Ten. Indiana's in. So I think it's more true that Indiana makes the playoff in that case. Which is more true? Cam Ward wins the Heisman, Travis Hunter wins the Heisman.
I think it's more true that Cam Ward wins the Heisman. One, I think Ward is, I think he's going to have a few more high-profile games left to play. And look, like it or not, call it East Coast bias, I think that's a real thing. I think unless you're at Southern Cal, I think it's hard for anybody else west of the Mississippi to have a legitimate shot at winning the Heisman Trophy because you don't get that many opportunities in big-time, prime-time games to where the nation is watching. And I think ultimately that's going to be what will hurt Colorado going forward, and I think that's what's going to help Cam Ward in Miami.
We're talking about which is more true in college football right now. I'm going to go with Cam Ward because the Heisman is a quarterback-driven thing, though, you know, Travis Hunter, those two are kind of linked together in a weird kind of way because I think they're probably at the moment, and it could change, 1-2 in the Heisman voting. I also think they're 1-2 in the NFL draft, depending on whether the team at the number one spot needs a quarterback or not.
Yep.
And I'm looking at the teams that are drafting at the top of the draft, they think, oh, yeah, I need a quarterback, 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 yeah. I felt Cam Ward's odds of being the number one pick, probably pretty good. Like 99.9% good. Which is more true? And I'm scratching Billy Napier. Billy Napier and Hugh Freeze are like the two happiest guys in the world that their basketball programs, like we were just talking about, melted down yesterday. So they're, okay. Which is more true? Brent Venables will be job hunting. Lincoln Riley will be job hunting.
Ooh. Wow. I'm going to go Brent Venables will be job hunting. I think there's a ton of pressure on both of those guys. It has not gone as planned or expected or as hoped for either one of them. Could I see both of them going? Yes. Could I see both of them staying? Sure. But I'm going to say Brent Venables at this point.
Yeah, it's a toss-up. I got to go. I think you're right as well. I believe this, that some men, some people are, you know, for example, they're built to be one thing, and then when they, like college coaches who go to the NFL and fail, right? They were built to be college coaches. You know, Steve Spurrier was built to be a college coach. Lou Holtz was built to be a college coach. When they go to the NFL, it doesn't work. And the inverse is true, too. You got guys from the NFL who go into college, and it doesn't work. Why not? Well, because you were built to be a college coach. They're different kind of animals here. And Brent Venables, to me, remains one of the not only elite coordinators in college football today, but when you start talking about all-time, he's an all-time top 10, maybe even top 5 defensive coordinator in the history of the game. He's that good. And so I just think he's an elite defensive coordinator. And by the way, don't worry about either of these guys. If Brent Venables gets bounced at Oklahoma, there are going to be NFL teams aplenty throwing tons of money at him. And forget about colleges. They're going to be NFL teams going, do you want to be a DC in the NFL? I mean, because he's going to get offer after offer after offer to do that. It's sort of like Mike Zimmer was the same way. You know, Mike Zimmer was an incredible coordinator. And head coach, which is more true? Oregon is number one, which they are, but Georgia is really number one.
No, I think Oregon is, based on what we've seen so far, I think Oregon's the number one team in the nation. I mean, I don't think, you know, it's Oregon. I mean, they're the best team thus far in college football.
Yeah, they look pretty good. I need to see kind of next step with Oregon. I want to see kind of that next thing that sells me. And look, Dan Lanning's done an incredible job, especially considering how he debuted at Oregon with Bo Nix in that horrendous game against Georgia at Mercedes-Benz. He's really, you know, put them back into a solid position. They are the dominant team west of the Rockies again. And so, but I want to see a little bit more from them. I'm not saying that I don't think they can't win the national title. I just think if you're going to tell me that Oregon's going to run through, you know, Texas and Georgia, I'm going to say, okay, if they do to win the national title in the playoff, that's fine. But I'm a show me guy on Oregon. Okay. By the way, Dylan Gabriel, the quarterback at Oregon, who was at Central Florida, of course, went to Oklahoma and goes to Oregon. Dylan Gabriel, this is weird. This is the nature of the game. Dylan Gabriel can end his career at Oregon and in college football as the all-time leading passer in the history of college football in yards.
Wow.
Yeah, I think second right now.
I mean, he's had a heck of a career. There's no question. Guy's had he's had a heck of a career. And he's in an offense that I think suits his skill set really, really well. So
Another question that I have, just kind of which is more true here. This really isn't a more true, but we'll just ask it anyway. More true, Fox will or will not fire whoever was in charge of Big Noon Football today to say, hey, it's a good idea if we put out Purdue against Ohio State on national TV.
Well, yeah, especially when Fox has tried to brand that Big Noon kickoff as being their premier game, right? I mean, that, you know, when they started doing that, they're like, look, we're, you know, CBS kind of owns that 3:30 slate. At that time, it was with the SEC. You know, ESPN has these, you know, ABC's got these, you know, big primetime matchups. Let's be the traditional college football, you know, noon kickoff from the bright and sunny Big Ten on a Saturday. Let's do that. And let's put primetime, big-time games on at noon. I don't know. Maybe the philosophy is shifting there. Maybe the Fox Big Noon kickoff on Fox is more aching to, you know, 12:45 on the SEC network now. But, yeah, that was a little shocking to see today for sure.
Yeah, they could have, you know, manipulated it. Fox gets first choice, from my understanding. Michigan, Indiana is a 3:30 game, but you're talking about putting Purdue, Ohio State on national TV, boys and girls, moms and dads. I'm going to ask you another question here. Can you look up the spread in this game? Now, I know that, you know, that some people say, look, Ohio State, you know, they're not all that great. You know, I mean, but I think they're pretty good. I mean, you go on the road, Will Howard, yeah, there's pluses and minuses with him at quarterback. You know, son, there's he lost to Oregon. Almost got beat by Nebraska. We'll see what they do against Indiana. But
you ready?
Boys and girls, Purdue is awful. Go ahead.
Ohio State by 38.
I think that's too low.
Yeah.
Yeah, this could be 63-0 quick. I mean, Purdue is awful. Yeah, we'll see. Well, Purdue's basketball team projected to be the best in the Big Ten this year, so you got that.
To give you a little bit of, you know, and look, I know you can't compare scores. Notre Dame beat Purdue 66-7. Wisconsin beat them 52-6. Oregon beat them 35-0.
And that's only because Oregon was stumbling over its own feet in that game.
And that game was at Purdue, too. So,
yeah.
Take that for what
you By the way, and in a couple of weeks when Indiana plays Purdue, Indiana's going to beat them 63-0. You know, so, I mean, so, yeah. I think Purdue's probably the worst team in the nation. So, anyway. Somebody asked me this week, final thing on this segment here, Chris, and I think it's kind of interesting to contemplate. In this day and age, when things start to change again, and they're going to change again, right? When players start to sign contracts with schools, which is probably what they're, and not just contracts with in terms of scholarships, but actual paid contracts, will they, you know, kind of reevaluate? Will they be making business decisions? Because there is some thought that there are going to be some star players when the poll comes up, when the final poll comes out and we get the matchups for the opening round, there are going to be some star players who are going, man, I got to play another four games. I don't think I can go. I don't think I can go. That some players might make business decisions based on the idea that it's not just one more game, but Chris, it's potentially four.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, is it likely to happen? Yeah. Yeah, I think there's, if you're not one of those four teams that get a bye, I think that's got to be in the mind of, or in the back of the mind, rather, of every head coach, of the fact that you may have to deal with this come playoff time. You hope that's not the case. I mean, you know, you would love to see a lot of these teams, you know, you think back at Florida State last year, you would have loved to have seen them at full strength, you know, going into a bowl game. But as we've noted over the last several years, that hasn't been the case, and it's not going to be the case again this year, college football playoff or not.
And this kind of dates back to Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, a number of years ago, same year, when McCaffrey was at Stanford and Fournette was at LSU. They both begged out of bowl games. You know, they were the two best running backs of the nation. They were star players. They were Heisman candidates. And they both begged out of their bowl games kind of publicly, saying, you know what, it's an exhibition. I don't care. I'm not going to risk any injury in it. And a lot of fans jumped on them going, you owe it to your school to do that. You know, and they're like, nah, I don't, actually. It'll be interesting to see if any players beg out of the playoffs with face the possibility of having to play four more football games when you're looking at, hey, listen, I'm a first-round pick right now. Why would I want to risk that? So it'll be interesting to see if that happens. It is the first real big decision day. A couple of teams could be out of the college football playoff in terms of lose today, and you're gone. You're out. We're going to discuss some of the headlines. Georgia goes into Ole Miss. What does Chris think about Georgia and Ole Miss in that matchup, and what kind of a game we're going to see today, and more next on College Football Game Time on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.